Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, Houston, with Clint Sterner. I'm Jeremy Branham, and the Rockets did it. They traded Clint Capella in the middle of the night in a huge deal. We alluded to it a bit yesterday during the show. It turns out to be a four-team, 12-player trade. Long story short, the Rockets get rid of Clint Capella. They throw in Nene Gerald Green in a 2020 first-rounder. And in return, they get their 3-and-D guy, Robert Covington, and they get Jordan Bell as a throw-in as well.
I can't say that I don't love this trade, baby.
I knew you would. I knew you would.
JB, I feel like I've been the I love this move every time an Astros or the Rockets or
call you a homer
or the Texans. Yeah,
well, we turn into a homer.
We get that enough, don't we? Right? I mean, boy, don't you ever be positive. You're gonna be a homer now. I'm fine with that. Get the hell out of here. Here's the deal. I like this move for multiple reasons. You've heard me for a year plus now talk about the lack of offensive skill in Capella's game is a problem for this the way that the Rockets are set up. So I was never beyond or above moving Capella, regardless of the fact they'd given him a good sized deal, or regardless of the 7-footer, and you need the rim protector, and the double doubles that he goes out and gets in such impressive fashion. So, just the thought of the Rockets being active at this time of year to make a move, I thought was a good thing. All right, and when you look at this move specifically, and most importantly, the decision makers from the head coach all the way up, they got what they wanted. Whether you and I agree with it or disagree with it, they got what they wanted. They got a 3-and-D guy that they wanted that they feel like enhances what they want to do. So first and foremost, this name was thrown out there weeks ago.
Yeah.
That the Rockets wanted to go in some way, shape, or form acquire him, and the whispers of Capella being involved in that. Even Tucker was involved in that conversation a couple of weeks ago. But Covington has always been the guy that they had targeted.
He's always been the guy they coveted.
Yes, nice. And so most importantly, again, whether you and I like it or not, they went out and got him. They got the guy that they wanted. So this wasn't one of those, we got to make a move, and then you go, well, damn, man, we didn't get the guy we wanted, but we're going to move over here. We're going to go. So they got the guy that they wanted. And when you look at how he fits, there's two things that are important, JB. How does he fit the superstars that are on this Rockets basketball team? How does he fit with Harden, and how does he fit with Westbrook? And to me, it's a perfect fit. You still get your pick and rolls if you need it. You got another spot-up shooter if and when you need it. However you want to use this guy, you've got another spot-up shooter that on the offensive end of the floor. And most importantly, you've got a guy that you can go five deep with, and you can force a defense a team that you're playing, you can force an opponent to stretch their defense to the perimeter, which, what have we seen lately? Harden put an extra emphasis on getting to the hoop, right? What does Westbrook do better or as good as anybody in the league? Hell, maybe anybody that's ever played in the league. What does he do as good as he gets to the rack, right? So now you force teams to decide, do we want to back off and stop Harden and Westbrook from getting to the rack easily, or do we want to expand and play defense on these guys that can shoot the rock at a high percentage from the perimeter? So when it fits the personnel, it fits the scheme, and they got the guy they wanted, JB. For me, those are three things that are all wins for the Rockets.
Rockets trading Clint Capella yesterday, getting Robert Covington, the big piece, and now the Rockets can go with that small ball lineup that they've been wanting to do. I watched last night's game with the intent of how they were really implementing that small ball lineup, and the Rockets actually posted a video of one play that I thought really worked well at the Rockets going with a small ball. And I can't remember who was driving. It must have been Harden. But they had Zeller, the big man for Charlotte. He was out in the corner having to respect and defend the corner three. I think it was P.J. Tucker he was defending. It allowed a wide-open lane to get an easy layup. So you can see on the offensive side of the ball how effective the small ball lineup can and will work.
Jay, there's no doubt about it that when you're watching that game last night, look, I get that it was against Charlotte.
Yeah,
I get it. But there was no doubt about it that Harden was putting an emphasis on not settling for late in the shot clock threes. Now, he hit a few of his the big-time impressive threes that he can hit, the step backs or the sidestep threes that he can. He hit a few of those, but that he was making a conscious effort to get to the rack. The team was making a conscious effort to clear the paint and allow a clear path to the bucket. And Harden is a guy that last night the announcers are talking at length about Harden's strength and his ability to get to the rack. So when you couple that with Westbrook's ability to get to the rack, when you couple that with Harden's ability to shoot the three, and you couple that with Harden's ability to get to the free throw line, and all of those things work hand in hand, I don't know that it's going to equal a championship, JB, mm-hmm. but it's something different than what they've been doing, which everybody said they were a move away from being able to compete in the West anyway. So it's a shakeup from what they were doing. And it appears schematically, as you sit and think it out, it gives them a chance to enhance the pieces that are already present, the superstars that are present, and it gives them a chance to enhance the system that Mike D'Antoni wants to run with the Rockets. Again, I don't know if it's going to win a championship, but it definitely enhances the scheme, the superstars, and the complementary pieces that are in place for the Rockets right now.
That's a good way to put it, because I'm torn on the trade. I like Clint Capella. I like the numbers that he puts up. I like the size. I hate getting out-rebounded every single night. This was Daryl Morey's best ever draft pick. Drafting Clint Capella late first round turned into being, you know, a top five, top seven center in the NBA. But I thought you summed it up well yesterday when we discussed the possibilities of trading Clint Capella. You're going to have a trade-off here. You're going to have to trade some of that length and that rebounding for the offensive end. Because I've seen the numbers when Clint Capella's off the floor of the Houston Rockets. The Rockets have the best offensive efficiency in the entire NBA. So there's no doubt that they're a better offensive team without Clint Capella. Now they have the shooters around them. I'll tell you where I'm intrigued. Again, torn on this trade, but intrigued with this trade. A lot of the reasons that you brought up. This is the Rockets selling their soul to the system,
sure,
right?
Committing
this
to
is Daryl Morey. We're going to be a three-ball team. We're going to shoot shots in the paint. We're going to get to the free throw line. Mike D'Antoni loves playing the small ball lineup. So what intrigues me the most about the trade, torn on it because I like Capella as the player. I hate getting rid of all the rebounding. That's something I'll be watching critically down the stretch. But I'm very intrigued that the Rockets sold their soul to the system.
It's commitment. It's mm-hmm. commitment to what you want to do. It's something different. And so as a fan, I sit there and I go, hey, I can get down with this. And I tell you what else I did was I went and watched some highlights from last season. It was a longer highlight film than I wanted to watch. And it was highlights of Covington. But one, the dude's long mm-hmm. and he can shoot it. Two, he can run the floor. Pick and roll's gonna, I mean, he is athletic as hell.
Yep.
Defensively, he is. Now, I don't know how he's going to fare against a 7-footer out in L.A. or against Giannis or any of those guys. But as far as giving you effort and energy and being aggressive on both ends of the floor, the dude's got that. I mean, he brings that to the table, and you got to think that from the outside looking in, having not seen him take the floor yet, you got to believe that he's a pretty damn good fit.
Yep.
You got to believe that he's excited about being able to play in this system and being such a good fit in this system. So I would expect to see more of what you see on a highlight reel than a guy that's out of sorts and just not a good fit and is not, you know, he's not happy where he's at. I would expect to for this move to actually get more out of that player than get less out of that player.
Well, Covington, two years ago, an NBA all-first team defender. I've seen some call him an elite defender. I don't want to throw around that word loosely, but I will say this. He immediately becomes the best on-ball defender that the Houston Rockets have. And if you start looking at some of the teams that they'll have to beat in the Western Conference, they all have elite wings. And Robert Covington's going to draw that assignment night in, night out, as he immediately becomes the best defender. Clinton, JB, discussing the Houston Rockets trade.
Yeah, Jay, I think on the offensive end of the floor for the Rockets, Covington forces a defense, a team that's trying to defend the Rockets, Covington forces them to either give up the three or stretch the defense to the perimeter and clear the paint.
Yeah, and spacing
and respect. That is so huge right now in what Westbrook – everybody knows Westbrook can do, right? and it's so huge right now based off of what I've personally seen from Harden. Like, I mean Harden's always – because he was so deadly from the perimeter, he's always had and he's got an unbelievable first step to get by a defender and get to the rack. And so it's not that he couldn't do it before, but there was almost the hesitation of getting to the rack and, you know, looking for the lob or you know, just not like last night he aggressively was getting to the rack, and he was doing it a lot of the times with no defender in the paint, and so it was an easy bucket for him. A couple of his floaters fell that were big, and I think Capella allows a defense to crowd the lane if they want to. If they're worried about Harden getting to the paint, if they're worried about Westbrook getting in the paint, when Capella's on the floor, regardless of where the hell he's at, he allows a big to stay in the game and protect the rim, like what you mentioned yesterday Capella was. He allows that defender to be in the game and protect the rim, makes it harder on Westbrook and Harden. When he's not there, it's more complimentary to the system of getting to the rack, shooting threes, getting to the free throw line. Guys that can do that at a high level, I mean, man, it's a good move for the Rockets, and I'm anxious to see how this thing unfolds.
You saw a little bit of it yesterday, obviously, yep, without Covington. Westbrook didn't play either yesterday, but they beat a Hornets team by 15, 125-110. James Harden was outstanding, near triple-double, 40 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. So you saw a little bit of – you've seen it on display a bit because Capella's been hurt, but Harden was tremendous.
You know what I thought was big last night? House shot it well from the perimeter.
Yeah, he did.
McLemore shot it really well from the perimeter. Gordon struggled mightily. He was 0-for-12. And check it out, with 5:45 left in the game, it's a tight game. I'm thinking, damn, man, D'Antoni, why are you putting Eric Gordon back in the game? Well, we put him in the game for about 2 minutes, pulled him out, put McLemore back in. McLemore bangs a three home. They stretch it out enough to where the game is essentially over. And I just thought that was a good move by D'Antoni to, hey, EG, you're 0-for-12, bro.
Right.
We got to get one of these young. They got options around the perimeter. The fact that House has stepped up and the fact that McLemore has shown up as a Rocket and is playing really, really well, that's going to be big, too, down the stretch.
I wish I had the courage to miss 12 three-pointers in an NBA game. Like, you know how much bravado you have to go 0-for-12 from
three? The most frustrating point of that, JB, was like, you could see it in Eric Gordon's face of like, man, he ain't with us right now. Like, he's just throwing them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, it was big last night that House and McLemore were on time. And, of course, Harden did his thing, and they won a game without Westbrook. I understand who was against. But it was a good outing.
Our guy Kendrick Perkins will join us later on in the show to discuss the Houston Rockets trade of Clint Capella. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the AFC South. It's an important offseason, obviously, for every team in the AFC South. What can some teams do in this division that could turn the tide in the division? We discuss it next. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Big offseason for the Houston Texans. A lot of unrestricted free agents that they'll have to make a decision on. Everybody will be watching Bill O'Brien even more critically than they already were since he got the full label of being the general manager of this team. He's got a bunch of jobs now for the Houston Texans. ESPN, they had all of their AFC South writers talk about one move that could happen for every single AFC South team. First and foremost, Houston Texans, their prediction was they're going to let DJ Reader walk. Something we talked about in great length yesterday, about if you're placing priority on your defensive players, on your unrestricted free agents, DJ Reader might not be at the top of that list.
Yeah, look, if you can't sign them all back, then I just don't understand how you let a guy like Bradley Roby walk and DJ Reader stay. That's where I'm at, and I'm not changing. You know what I mean? That's just my stance on it. I was more intrigued with the rest of the division.
Yeah,
JB. I mean, you talk about DJ Reader again. I think he's a great nose guard. No disrespect. He's earned his stripes. He deserves to be a Houston Texans and get paid handsomely. I need to know more about Anthony Weaver and the direction that he wants to take with this defensive front and what they're going to do with the secondary before I make a decision on whether or not DJ Reader's a Texan moving forward, but the other teams in the division Those are the ones that interested me.
Yeah, the one that interested me the most was the Colts. And look, the Colts were dealt a bad hand last season. Andrew Luck retiring when Andrew Luck retired really put Chris Ballard and the Colts in a tough spot. They had a good backup in Jacoby Brissett, but a lot of times good backups don't equate to good starters in the NFL. And I wouldn't classify Jacoby Brissett as a good starter in the NFL. Their prediction, ESPN, putting prediction together of offseason moves of every AFC South team, Indy has a surplus of draft picks. What if they package up some of those draft picks and trade it for a quarterback by the name of Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah, if they traded to move ahead of Miami at five, I guess.
Probably
right
the
now
spot,
is,
right?
is where everybody. Yeah, look, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, I think, is a good. He was a good fill-in in the emergency situation where Andrew Luck decided to retire. I think the jury was still out of whether he could be a starter in this league long-term or not. I don't know that anybody ever thought that Jacoby Brissett was going to be a franchise guy.
No.
And so this conversation, to me, JB, isn't just about, well, is Jacoby Brissett a guy or not a guy? To me, it's if you've got a chance, if you've positioned yourself as the Indianapolis Colts to make a move and get a guy that is a generational talent, according to Trent Dilfer, and according to other personalities that evaluate college players, high school players, quarterbacks, if you get a chance to go out and do that, you don't hesitate making that move because Jacoby Brissett is your quarterback. Jacoby Brissett is a guy that's very replaceable if and when you're convinced that your long-term franchise quarterback becomes available. And if you've got the draft capital to move up in the draft above the number five slot, I believe, are they 14 or 13?
They're in the teens. I don't know exactly.
So if they're going to move up from down there to the above the five spot with Miami in order to get a shot at Tua, then why not? I think that's one of them that it's an interesting twist on Tua because you've heard Miami, Miami, Miami over and over again. And I don't know that Indy would. Gosh dang, if I was a quarterback, boy, if I was coming out.
Be a good spot, right?
Oh, man, if I was coming out and I was – I've always had – when people talk about quarterbacks. And like Joe Burrow, God bless his soul.
I think he'll be all right.
I hope it works. Oh, he's going to be all right. Financially, he's going
to
be all right.
You're talking like he's a poor guy that's looking for a job.
Bro, I just hate to see guys – I just hate to see guys come out, quarterbacks in particular, come out and get stuck with an organization that you just know – it's like, I mean, look at my man in the New York with the Jets right now.
Darnold.
I mean, look at – Darnold's a great quarterback, man. I mean, he's as skilled, every bit as skilled as Joe Burrow. He's every bit as skilled as any of these guys you want to talk about playing, and he's stuck up there with Adam Gase and the Jets, man. he has no chance whatsoever, and I just hope that's not the case with Joe Burrow. But it would be to watch Indy make that jump ahead of Miami and go get Tua. Boy, that would be a blessing for Tua to be able to get into that kind of organization immediately to start his career. That would be huge for a quarterback.
And you're right with your first thought, 13th pick that the Colts have, so they can package something together. The Colts have a surplus of picks, and you know they talked whenever Andrew Luck was there that they had a really good roster around Andrew Luck. Last year they missed the quarterback. The roster is still there. Could be a good spot for a young QB.
Think about it like this, JB, is would you rather go number five to Miami, a team that just let their best running back, their best defensive back, the best left tackle, young left tackle in the game, let them all walk.
Right.
And I'm probably leaving somebody off the list that Miami let get out of town, but let them all walk.
Well, they
now
traded their left tackle to the Texans.
Right. And one of their receivers. Wasn't their best receiver, but one of their better receivers, a starting receiver at that. Do you think it's more beneficial for a quarterback to go to a spot like that or go to a spot in Indy where you've got one of the best run-blocking offensive lines in the game? You got a back that crushed it 2 years ago. Last year, I know he's got banged up a little bit, but had a good season, but didn't have as good a season in 2019 as he had in 2018. You got T.Y. Hilton there. You've got some pieces. The defense is getting better.
A good O-line to protect you.
Yeah, right? And you've got all kind of draft capital this year to fill voids if you need to or build depth if you need to. That could make or break a guy's career, a quarterback's career, of whether he goes to Indy or Miami.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Indy would be a much better spot for a young quarterback. When you were talking about that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger comes to mind. He found a good spot in Pittsburgh. Brady was in a good spot, obviously, although drafted in the sixth round, Patriots found gold late in that draft. Another team in the AFC South, Jacksonville, they're predicted, according to ESPN, their predictions in the offseason, to re-sign Yannick Ngakoue. And this is an interesting one, though, because we've heard about, you know, his character at times. Does he have character concerns? Doug Marrone is still there. We thought that he kind of, you know, got sideways a bit with the coaching staff.
Is it Marrone or Marrone?
Is it Marrone? It's Marrone. It's Doug Marrone.
Is it Marrone?
No, it's
Marrone. I like Marrone. Can we call him Marrone?
We can. Yeah, why not?
Hey, I'm rubbing off on you over there,
if they're playing two of their games in London, we can call him whatever we want to call him.
That's right.
But Ngakoue's interesting to me because if he hit the free agency market, he'd be a guy I'd be interested in if I'm the Houston Texans.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, there you hit the nail on the head. It's interesting to me because I would love to see the Texans get their hands on a guy like that at the rush end position. So on one hand, I'd love to see the Texans acquire him. On the other hand, you hate to see him go back to a division opponent. So it's interesting.
Double whammy.
The only thing that's going to save that relationship is the change at the top, you know, is Coughlin and him clearly didn't. I guess it's more his representation clearly weren't seeing eye to eye. And I think he was well on his way out until they made the move, the change with Coughlin at the top. So there's a chance that he could remain with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but gosh dang it, I hope he somehow slips out the back door and becomes a Texan. That's the kind of player that you hope the Texans could go out and sign. He's in that Frank Clark mold of a outside linebacker, defensive end type guy that could really, really get after the quarterback. And he's a guy, too, that I could – you get him out of that dysfunction that's been going on in Jacksonville for a while and let him flourish, let him blossom somewhere where it's a little different culture, the sky could be the limit. So, I don't want him going back to Jacksonville. I'd much rather see him come back to or end up in Houston.
If I was trying to predict an edge rusher in free agency, that would be the most like Shaq Barrett was in Tampa Bay. This is a guy. I mean, he's young, still 24, 25 years old. He's going to be desperate to have a successful season after it's been a disappointment in Jacksonville. And for the Texans, as many good edge rushers that enter free agency, the better, because there'll be more to choose from. Meanwhile, the AFC South team maybe didn't win the division, but went the deepest in the AFC playoffs, Tennessee. They have a very interesting and busy offseason as well. Ryan Tannehill, he's an unrestricted free agent. Derrick Henry is an unrestricted free agent. Well, ESPN predicts that they're going to get long-term deals done with both of those guys, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for the Texans because you're looking at a team who you got to believe is the best team in the division right now. I mean, they just went to the AFC Championship game. I know you beat them mid-season or what was it, week 15.
Yeah, they played on week 15 and 17.
Yeah, week 15. I know you beat them week 15 in their backyard, but ultimately, they went to the AFC Championship game, so you got to feel like they're trending upward at the moment, and to think that they're going to lock up the two key pieces to their success in the second half of the season and in the playoffs. Not that I don't know that anybody ever doubted that they wouldn't be Texans, but getting them wrapped up. They wouldn't be Titans, but getting them wrapped up long term, I think would be a little bit of a surprise. I would imagine that the transition tag or the franchise tag would have been used on one of these guys, but according to this list, they expect the Titans to get them both long-term deals.
There's two questions I would have if I'm Tennessee. How much do I value Brady over Tannehill, if I value Brady over Tannehill more? And then if I had to pick between one of Henry and Tannehill, which one is more valuable going forward?
Wow, I think Henry's the piece there with the Titans that's the biggest piece.
The way they play.
The more I think about Brady and him moving, and he's just not – I don't think he's a good fit in that system. I mean, Brady is a game-plan guy. He wants to be in gun. He wants to pick the weakness of the defense and attack that weakness and take what they give him. And it's just a different approach where I think that they in Tennessee, they want to run that sucker downhill as long as they possibly can, force the middle of the field closed, and then take shots. And that's just not – that's just not Brady's strength. I don't think Brady would be a good fit in Tennessee.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next. We talked about the Clint Capela trade, where there was a blockbuster in Major League Baseball as well. It was a good thing for the Houston Astros. We tell you why next. Also, the parade in Kansas City is going on. We got to give some love to the KCPD. That's next on Houston Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham. If you like trades, last night was your night. Not only did the Rockets trade away Clint Capela for Robert Covington, the 3-and-D guy that they coveted. But there was a blockbuster last night in Major League Baseball as well. The Red Sox trading Mookie Betts, David Price to the L.A. Dodgers for Alex Verdugo. There was a third team involved. The Minnesota Twins get Kenta Maeda, a prospect, then goes to the Red Sox as well. Long story short, the Red Sox trade away one of the best offensive players in baseball, Mookie Betts. David Price, who's been a really good starting pitcher in this league for a very long time, and the Astros, they're just sitting back saying, thank you very much, Boston. Thanks for making the AL a little bit easier of a path to have to clear.
Yes. Look, I heard Landry Locker mention earlier, if this becomes a problem for the Astros, it's a damn good thing. That means they're back in the big dance, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's anytime that the path to a championship or at least entry into the World Series takes a significant hit, becomes significantly less difficult, then I'm in it. I'm in for it. I mean, this is a good move for the Astros at a time when they could use a little good news.
You know, it's interesting because Mookie Betts, they were trying to sign him in the offseason. They obviously didn't get close to re-signing Mookie Betts, and the decision was if we're not going to be able to re-sign him, we're not going to just play him in this final year of his deal. We're going to trade him and get something in return. You know who's a free agent next year for the Houston Astros? George Springer is entering the final year of his deal. I wonder how this would be received. If the Astros spent the entire offseason trying to lock up George Springer made it very obvious that he wanted to test free agency. I wonder how it would be received today if the Houston Astros were on the Boston Red Sox side of this trade and they traded George Springer away for a really good prospect.
Ooh, it'd be tough sledding for the Astros. Given with the situation that they're in right now, with that on the back end of a scandal, I don't know if Houston would survive, baby. I don't know if the fan base would survive. They would go absolutely nuts. So I'm going to stop that thought in its tracks right now.
Yeah, I gave it a little bit of thought because I kind of liked what Boston did a little bit.
I didn't realize that Mookie Betts had the year that he had in 2018. He became the first player in Major League Baseball history to win the Most Valuable Player, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, and the batting title and a World Series all in the same season.
He killed the Astros in the playoffs too.
I didn't realize he accomplished all of that. God, no wonder he's the first person to do it. Damn, that's a hell of a season, right? And to think that you do that with a team in a season where they win the title, where they win the World Series, and then they don't want to pay you what you're worth.
Right. You know what's interesting though, when you look at the 2018, you just running off all the accolades. First year head coach there, first year manager. I'm gonna have to owe money to the tip jar. The first year manager.
See there? Yeah, that'd be Max. You thought you were going to use that damn bell drop on me first today, didn't you? Yeah, got him.
You were the heavy favorite to have to pay up first, but I'm the one having to pay up first. But it's interesting. Like, I don't want to go conspiracy theorist in the first hour of the show, but his manager in 2018 was first year Alex Cora. His average, Mookie Betts, jumped from 264 in 2017 to 346, led the league in 2018. Alex Cora, first-year manager for the Boston Red Sox.
I see what you did there.
And then all of a sudden last year, Major League Baseball started to put a video monitor, a real person, inside the technology room of every Major League Baseball team, and his numbers dipped quite a bit. 295 last year after hitting 346 in 2018. His OPS dropped over 100 points from 2018 to 2019. Not to say that there was anything fishy going on, but if I'm a general manager and this dude's asking me to pay him $40 million a year, I'm going to trade him away. He had one outstanding season, one really, really good year. Outside of that, in 2018, he's been a pretty good player.
Yeah. Look, I mean, golly, man, you put that spin on it, you make me think a little bit about this
deal.
I dove
into the numbers a little bit earlier today. I dove into Mookie's numbers earlier today.
Well, you dove more into Alex Cora's dome, didn't you? Yeah. I mean, that's the one, you know. Yeah, look, I mean, I'm just glad that whether it's 2018 or 2019, Mookie Betts, I'm glad the Astros don't have to deal with him unless it's in the World Series.
Yeah, good player. The point of the story is the Astros, they're happy about it because you have two really good players leaving the American League. The path to get to the ALCS or perhaps the World Series became a little bit easier with the Red Sox trading away the talent that they traded away. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham, the parade is going out in Kansas City. We got our ears on it in case Travis Kelce says something wild or Pat Mahomes does something nuts or Tyrann Mathieu goes off. But you wanted to give a little salute to the KCPD for putting on the pit maneuver. What is the pit maneuver? You're going to have to educate me on this.
Apparently this morning, and I don't know the details as far as what the hell the guy was doing running from the cops, but he somehow got on. Let me tell you if you're going to go on, if the cops are going to chase you, if it's going to be on a high-speed chase, you might not want to turn down the damn street that the parade, the Super Bowl champions parade is on. But apparently a car ended up on the route of the parade, and there were already fans lined up everywhere. The cops are following the guy, trying to get the guy to stop. He wouldn't stop. And they ended up pulling a pit maneuver literally in the parade's route with fans and individuals lined up on both sides of the street. The pit maneuver. You don't watch Investigative Discovery?
No, I can't say that I do.
Boy, you are missing out in life.
Am I? Am I? Should I be watching Investigative Discovery? 713-572-4610.
Hey, either you're missing out on a lot in life by not watching Investigative Discovery, or I'm wasting a lot of mine watching it.
No, yeah. I'm with you, Clint. I watch it all the time.
You watch
too.
It too?
Oh yeah,
it's addicting, man.
It's addictive.
You got to be careful because it'll get you depressed. You know what I mean? It's one of those deals where you end up watching people murders get solved all the time, or you got to be careful. You got to step back every now and then and smile and go do something that'll make you happy. But Investigative Discovery. He's a great channel. If I had a daughter, let me tell you, this is serious talk now. If I had a daughter, she'd sit down three times a week and watch Investigative Discovery.
Really?
You know what Investigative Discovery is? It's real life.
Sure,
most of it is like real life, real time body cam type stuff.
Like the Live PD thing.
Yeah. Well,
is that on there?
No, Live PD. I think is A&E, but I'm a big fan of A&E too. But it's like. It's like First 48, where it's either a show made off of like the police's body cam, or they've got camera units following around an investigative unit that usually does murders. First 48, and of course they couch them all different ways of you know, sometimes it's evil stepsister, evil, you know, so it's a sister doing it.
Wives with knives or something.
Wives
like that.
With knives, yes. Yeah. So there's always. I try to stay away from those, though. I look at my girlfriend a little different. I look at my girlfriend a little different when we start watching one of those. I'm like, babe, change this before you make me nervous. I'm scared to close my eyes. But nonetheless, I watch a lot of Investigative Discovery, so I know what the hell a pit maneuver is. So the cop, if you're in a high-speed chase, right?
Yeah.
And things are getting a little dangerous.
Okay.
You got two options. You got a pit maneuver or you got a pullback. Okay, you got because obviously if the chase goes into a neighborhood or around a school or something, you're going to call the dogs off or end it to get the guy to slow down a little bit. Okay,
yeah, you don't want to endanger the citizens.
Right. So if you don't pull back, then the pit maneuver is the cop on either side. A cop gets up to where his bumper's about the back wheel, maybe in front of the back wheel. The cop's front bumper is at the car he's trying to pit maneuver's back tire. And you get right, you get your bumper up there, and then you ram your bumper into his back tire and spin the car out.
Yeah.
And you hit the gas so that you spin the car around to where it's going the other direction. Okay? And then the cops that are coming from the other direction, they got him head on. They box him in. Boom, done deal.
I've seen it done. I didn't know that was called the pit maneuver. Yeah, I do. Does it matter what side of the car you're on? Does it have
I've
to
seen
be
it
on?
Done both ways.
Okay.
I've seen it done both ways. KCPD executed one flawlessly today on the route of the parade with bystanders standing around watching.
How crazy is it that it happened on parade day? Like that, what is the criminal thinking? It's parade day. What are you doing? Today's not the day to do it.
I don't know, but I'm just going to tell you. Like I said, I've watched a lot of Investigative Discovery. If you're going to get in a high speed chase, you probably don't want to end up on the Super Bowl champions parade route. That'd be a bad ordeal.
I'm getting crushed for not knowing what a pit maneuver was, by the way. I guess I was the only idiot in Houston that I know.
I'm dead serious, man. If I had a daughter, she'd watch it three times a week. You'd be amazed. You'd be blown away, JB, and not just a daughter. I mean, a daughter, because for some reason I think a little boy can handle himself a little bit differently. But the number of young women that crimes are committed against, is that the right way to say that?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
And you look at it and you go, baby girl, you should have never been in that position. Like, you should have never been where you were. Like, you never should. Like, the number of teenage victims that it happens on a dark street at midnight in the wrong neighborhood, or on the railroad tracks out in the boonies somewhere. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Like, no, I mean, at least be aware of, like, you should have never been there. Right. If I had a teenager, forget the daughter aspect of it. If it were a young man, I'd be like, you're going to watch this, and I'll be damned if you're going to end up in some of these. And if you end up in some of these places, you're going to know it's dangerous. You need to get your ass out of there.
I think that's a big part of it, right? You just don't know what you don't know. Like, they're so oblivious and they're just unaware that that's what leads to it. Like, if you, like you said, if you had a daughter, you'd make them watch that 3 times a week so they'd be just informed. And if you're informed, you're probably not going and making those bad decisions.
Be aware. And speaking of that, and then I look up and see, I make my girlfriend watch those with me. I don't make her. She enjoys it, right? And then she's down in Corpus Christi work another day, and she sends me a picture of a jetty. You know what a jetty is?
No.
Like a jetty in, out in the bay, the rock.
Oh,
like a rock,
yeah. Right? I didn't know you were talking about the water.
She sends me a picture of a jetty and says, I thought this was a running trail.
Oh, no.
She ran to the end of a jetty. In the picture, you needed hiking boots just to walk down it, much less jog down it. And I'm like, we watch way too much damn Investigative Discovery for you to think that that was a damn, that that was a running trail. Literally, it went out in the damn Gulf. Like, I'm like, how do you think that was a running trail? Like, that's, it doesn't even make sense. Like, but like, that's how they get in trouble.
You don't know what you don't
the
know.
The only good thing was is that Investigative Discovery taught her to do those things like jog and walk when you're out during the day. Don't be on a work trip and just up and decide you need to go for a jog at midnight in a neighborhood you don't know. At least the picture she took, at least to my knowledge, she did it during the day and she was alone. I don't know what she did at night. I don't want to know nothing about that. But during the day, she was a little confused.
Hopefully it's not what Jessica Simpson did at night, right?
Jessica Simpson emailing. Jessica Simpson. She's out there. Ooh-wee. I tell you what, JB.
What's that?
Jessica Simpson. She had a little freak in her.
We'll just leave it at that, I guess.
Yes,
Clinton JB on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. A few texts are saying you need to watch Dateline, too. You know, I was laughing during the break. I had some buddies send me a couple of gifts. And one of the news items that was really circulating around the Twitterverse last night was, I don't know if you caught this or not, but the ripping up of a certain speech that was given last night by our president.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it. I mean, I'm not a guy that look, you know me. I ain't got no business getting off
in
politics.
We're the same way on that. Like we're not paying too much attention to politics.
But can I please say that my observation of that instance on social media and on TV, that I'm ashamed of what goes on with the individuals
that's
that
crazy.
Run our country.
It's crazy.
Right? I mean, you got the president didn't shake her hand, and then she stands up at the end and tears up a speech. That is something, like, if my nephew did that, I think he's 9 now, I think. It's 8, 9. I mean, I would sit him down and be like, Jake, hey, buddy, this, you know, even if you don't like somebody, like, just out of respect, you shake their hand when they extend the gesture.
Right.
And even if you don't appreciate someone's presentation, then you just nicely slide it in your backpack and you can throw it away when you get home. Like, well, I mean, those are the individuals that we've got running our country. Are you kidding me? I mean, what the hell are we doing?
I don't know. It's a circus. It's like watching the WWE. Like, that's really what's turning. Like, WWE is called sports entertainment. Like, this is political entertainment is what it's turned into. And it's crazy. And it's part of the reason I stick to sports. And I bet you stick to sports guys telling us right now to stick to sports.
So, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not giving you an opinion of my political beliefs. I'm just giving you my opinion of what I saw when I turned the TV on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was crazy. Anyway, do you see this crazy news too? Mark D'Antonio, the head coach of Michigan State, leaving Michigan State, retiring. It was yesterday too, so it was a day before National Signing Day. His recruiting class is terrible. It was, I think, 2 weeks after he picked up a $3.5 million option to still be the head coach at Michigan State. Boy, you have Mark D'Antonio, winningest coach in Michigan State football history, leaving Michigan State in an awful spot.
Yeah, and you wonder why they've struggled as of late. Is this guy clearly operates this way and has been leading the program for some time now? Yeah, you know, to me, when I first see things like this, JB, I don't know why, but I immediately go back to, and players can't transfer without losing a year.
Yeah.
A coach can sit around, get a bonus, bail the day before National Signing Day on a team. I don't know if there's anything more detrimental to an organization, to a program, than a coach leaving like within the week, whether he gets fired or retires, like leaving within the week of National Signing Day. Like, I don't know if there's anything more detrimental to it. Because, like, I mean, those guys, the players – that were, and I don't know what their class looked like, but I don't even care if it was a bottom of the barrel. Those guys are going to bail and run for the hills. And their parents, the high school kids the athletes that were committed and were planning on signing, if their parents allow them to sign, they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts.
I mean, they're in a bad spot, though, right? I mean, because it's the second national signing day. Today's the latest day that you can sign. You had the early signing period, too. So if you don't sign, I mean, you're kind of putting yourself in a tough spot.
Yeah, well, you're definitely in a tough spot, but you, I mean, there's...
They should allow a free transfer.
Especially in 2020 nowadays, you've got a lot of, I mean, you got a lot of guys coming down to the wire. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of them are coming down to the last second, and they're either going like Arkansas, my alma mater. We had a guy that they really wanted that was coming down between TCU and Arkansas, and he ended up at TCU literally 45 minutes ago. Malik Hornsby, who's a quarterback out of the Houston area, he committed to Arkansas just at 2 p.m. So
that's a good get.
Yeah, no, it's a great get. Great, especially for Arkansas. I mean, it's a really, really good get for what they want to do. He can spin the rock. He can run. He's a good player. So luckily, and this isn't the case for all high school athletes, but luckily in 2020, if there was 20 kids committed and planning on signing, odds are 15 of those kids were deciding between two or three or four different schools. So you at least gave them one day to decide to eliminate Michigan State. But yeah, that's just such trash for Coach D'Antonio to do at Michigan State.
It caught me off guard too, because he was somebody that you thought, you know, had a lot of class, has been at Michigan State forever, has turned down other really good opportunities to stay there, leaving them high and dry like that. I wouldn't expect that from Mark D'Antonio. The conversation you bring up about the transfer, like, it's really interesting, because I'm not a fan of the free transfer. Like, if you want to just leave and play for a team again the very next season, I'm not for that. If you have a coach leave under these circumstances, though, like, it should be case by case, I think. Like, something like this, yes, every player that it's signed at Michigan State should be allowed to have the free transfer. They don't have to sit out a year whenever you talk about going somewhere else. It's a tough conversation to have. I don't know the perfect answer. I don't know if there is a perfect answer. I wish the NCAA, though, would handle it case by case. I wish that every situation was different, and the NCAA, which we know doesn't always use the best common sense, would have a little more common sense when it came to matters like this.
Yeah, I just like the fact that they're addressing it, JB. You know what I mean? I don't have all the answers. Right. I don't know what the right way to handle transfers in college football, college athletics. I don't know the right way to handle it, but I know the wrong way is to, no questions asked, a kid has to sit out a year if he transfers. Uh-huh. I know that's not the way to do it. And so I'm comfortable with the fact that the NCAA, whether it's grad transfers or what do they call it? What do they call them when the kid transfers and because he's trying to get closer to family? Not a medical.
Hardship. Hardship waiver.
Those kind of things, regardless of what it is or why, I just like the fact that it's moving in the right direction. I don't know if there's ever going to be a perfect scenario, because if you just let kids transfer, there's going to be programs that essentially get the death penalty because they have 20 kids leaving a year. You can't be, you've got to do things to keep that from happening. But I love the fact that we're seeing guys like Jalen Hurts and Fields and Joe Burrow and all these different guys get opportunities, life-changing opportunities beyond the decision they made when they were 17 or 18 years old, being lured in by grown men that are coaching staffs that are recruiting. I love to see that there's a way out and another answer for kids to continue their playing career.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham. Today at 4, in a little over an hour, we'll be joined by Radio.com Sports NBA insider Kendrick Perkins with a look at the Rockets trading Clint Capella. Kendrick brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Coming up next, how the Houston Rockets trade of Clint Capella for Robert Covington complements the stars of this team. Does it complement the stars of the team? We discuss it next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.